All right, good morning. Welcome to Pure Words Baptist Church. We'll go ahead and get started. So let's go ahead and pull out our hymnals, and we'll turn to our first song for the morning. The song number 65. The song number 65, Just Over in the Glory Land. Number 65. You guys find your place there. Song 65. We'll go ahead and start there on the first. We'll sing nice and loud.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land, I am on my way to those mansions fair. Just over in the glory land, there to sing God's praise and his glory share. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, they'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land. What a joyful thought that my Lord I'll see, just over in the glory land. And with kindred saved there forever be, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land, with the blood-washed throng I will shout and sing. Just over in the glory land, glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land.
Good singing this morning. Brother Brandon, you want to pray for us this morning? Amen. Amen. All right, so in your hymnals, go ahead and flip to song number 121. 121, Like a River Glorious. Song number 121. Again, let's sing nice and loud this morning. 121, go ahead and start there on the first.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth, deeper the way. Stayed up on Jehovah. promised perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the Spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest.
Amen. Good singing this morning. Again, welcome to Pure Words Baptist Church. We'll go ahead and go over the announcements. So go ahead and pull out your bulletins. If you didn't receive a bulletin, just raise your hand. We'll have Brother Brandon bring them around to you. And we do have our verse listed there on the front, Psalms 113, verse 3. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And again, children, if you could quote this verse word perfect by the next midweek service, you will receive an ice cream treat for that. Pretty easy one to get done. But if you flip your bulletins open, we have our service times listed on the top left. We have our soul winning times with the respective leaders. And we also have our stats and the praise report listed there. Do we have any salvations to report for Friday? Did anybody get any Friday? Saturday? One? Okay, so two. Did I miss anybody? Amen. So good job soul winning. We'll go out later today at 2 p.m. And we're still shooting for that 1,000 mark for the year, all right? Each year has been getting better and better, and I have a really good feeling about this year. So good job soul winning. Be in prayer for our expecting lady in the church. We have Sister Corinne Darnell, expecting in June. She's having a little girl. Just be in prayer for the developing one and the mother with the delivery. Some upcoming guest preachers, February 20th. Today, we have Brother Chris Segura back with us. That's always a blessing having him. He always brings a couple kids. He brought a new one today, so definitely shake all their hands, meet them, thank them for coming out. March 3rd, we'll have Brother Dylan Oz. March 6th, we'll have another visit from Dylan Oz for that midweek service. March 10th, Brother Chris coming back to see us, preach for us. And then March 20th, we'll have Brother Ben Naim. So definitely, again, every time these guys come out and preach for us, shake their hand, thank them. They are a blessing. Some upcoming events. We have a lot of soul-winning opportunities to look forward to. So this next Saturday, which is February 26th, there is a soul-winning marathon in Waco, Texas. It's about 3 hours away from here, so it's not too terribly far. It'll be our first time doing a soul-winning marathon there. It seems like it would be very fruitful. So definitely write that on the calendar. It'll be a great event. It's going to be put on by Steadfast Baptist Church. So that's the 26th. March 24th, 25th, and 26th is the Soul Winning Seminar at Steadfast Baptist Church up in Hearst, Texas. So they're going to have, on the 24th, which is a Thursday, they're going to have the Soul Winning in the morning. The 25th, they're going to have the Soul Winning in the morning. And in the evening, on both those days, they're going to have the seminar. And then the 26th is going to be reversed. So they're going to have a breakfast at the church, and then they'll do an afternoon round of soul winning. And it's for all soul winners, beginners, experts. If you've never been, if you're an expert, if you've been a lot, you can help the beginners. And if you're a beginner, you can learn different tips and tricks. So definitely something to look forward to. April 2nd, we are having a small town soul winning marathon in College Station, Texas. From here at the church house, it's roughly an hour and 40 minutes away. So just under 2 hours, so not that bad of a drive. And then May 21st, there is going to be a soul winning marathon in Austin, Texas. And that's going to be put on by Steadfast Baptist Church. So lots of opportunities to go soul winning. Definitely a lot of things to look forward to. A lot of good fellowship. Definitely write those on your calendar. And for any prayer requests, lastly, if you have anything you want special prayer about, email that into the church at purewordsbaptist@gmail.com. And whenever Pastor Shelley comes down for those midweek services, he goes over all of those. And we can be in prayer for everybody that needs it. So definitely email those in. But that is the announcements for the morning. Let's go ahead and pull our hymnals back out, and we'll go to our third song. Song number 169. Song number 169. Come Thou Fount. Song number 169. We'll go ahead and start there on the first. Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I know by thy good pleasure, safely I'll arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Amen. All right, so this time, if you go ahead and pull out your Bibles and turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 9. Romans chapter number 9, we'll have Brother Samson come and read for us, and we'll go ahead and pass the offering plate.
All right, Romans chapter 9. As always, we'll read this chapter together, so if you would, find your places. Follow along with me. Romans chapter 9, verse 1, where the Bible reads, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the promise of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou to repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou formed me thus? Had not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endures with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work, and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left unto us a seed, we would have been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumble at the stumbling stone, as it is written, for, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth not in him shall be ashamed. By it for a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, give you thanks for all your spiritual gifts and blessings. Father, we pray that you would bless this service, fill Brother Security with your Holy Spirit, fill the church service. God and truth and just to edify our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to be back, and it's good to see that I'm going to be back on the 10th. You know, so it's always a pleasure to see everyone here. Mo, glad you're here this time. You missed me last time, bro, but that's okay. I forgave you and forgot. That's why I'm bringing it up. But the verse that I want you guys to look at is verse number 13 right there in Romans 9. It says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And I don't know if there's any other verse that you can point someone to that can clearly show them that God has both. God has both. And that's my first point, because this morning I want to preach on love and hate. Last time I preached about loving the brethren, but then throughout the week, it seems like something always happens that just makes me want to preach more on how much God loves us, and also how much God hates as well. Because it seems like right now, everybody that I talk to who's not saved, who doesn't even know if they're going to heaven, barely even knows what the Bible says,
wants to just rebuke me and tell me how I'm wrong. I should be ashamed of myself. I don't know what I'm talking about. That God doesn't hate anyone. But we're going to be reminded this morning that God doesn't just love. He also has hate. And this is going to happen to you. It's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you as well. You're all knocking doors and people just don't want to buy in. That guess what? Those people in hell, God does not love them at all. They think, no, 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 Brother Segura. See, God hates bad doctrine. God hates sin, but not the sinner. Who's heard that already? But let's take a look really quick. If you have your Bible, go to Psalms 5:4. Well, you go to Psalms 5:4, I'll bring up Revelation 2:6, and this is where they bring it up. They say, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. This is Jesus talking to the church in the book of Revelation in chapter number 2, verse 6. And it says, which I also hate. And this is what they bring up saying, see right here, God does hate, but look what he's hating. He's hating the deeds. He's hating what these people are doing. And I'm thinking to myself, absolutely. It says that he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. But guess what? The Nicolaitans is also people that he's upset with as well. It's not just what they're doing. It's the people that are doing it as well. Revelation 21:15 says the same thing. That thou hast also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. See, there you go. Once again, it's the doctrine that God hates. Okay? Well, you guys are right there in Psalms 5:4. Let's take a look. Psalms 5:4 says this. For thou art not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Amen? All workers of iniquity. And if that's not enough, then keep reading. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. It doesn't say thou shalt destroy the doctrine. It says thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. And if that's not enough, because here God is clearly, or the scripture clearly teaching us that God is going to destroy them that speak leasing, and the Lord will abhor. What's abhor? Hate. Hate who? The bloody and deceitful man. But you come across people over and over and over again. And I guess it's good that you come across them because they kind of just energize you in a way. Because they get you motivated by getting you upset. And you're just knocking on the doors. Had an incident recently. I knocked on the door. Old lady comes out. She's probably in her 70s, probably close to her 80s. Very nice, as nice can get. Invited to church. Says, I haven't been to church in a while. I said, look, more important than church is going to heaven. Do you know for sure if you die right now, you're going to heaven? And she said, I don't know. I'm not sure. That's up to God. And I said, hey, can I just quickly show you what the Bible says about going to heaven? You know, because the Bible says that if God loves you, he wants you to go to heaven. And she begins to tell me, well, God loves everyone. And I have to tell her the truth. No, he doesn't. And I said, listen, God sends people to hell. Trust me, those people he does not love. And guess what? She also didn't believe that there was a hell. So she hit me on down. Well, show me. Show me in the Bible where Jesus talks about hell. I'm like, no problem. Mark 9. Hey, that's what I call the hell chapter. And that's what I've been recently telling people, because it seems like more and more people tell you I believe in hell. But when you ask them what do you believe it is, they're like, I don't know. I'm not sure. It's like, I think this life is hell. I was just told that like 3 days ago. But praise the Lord that God's word is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Because Mark 9 fixed this young lady real quick. After 7 verses, and I showed her really quickly that God used the word hell 3 times, used the word fire 7 times, showed that it was eternal 5 times. She changed really quick. Especially when I asked her, didn't God just messing around? She's like, nope, I believe it's true. And she believed it. But this older lady, her pride would just not allow her to change. After I showed her Mark 9. Mark 9:43, Mark 9:44, Mark 9:45, 46, 47, 48. She just will not change. And she started to rebuke me, saying that you should be ashamed of yourself. Telling people that God hates individuals. It's like, you don't know what you're talking about. And she started yelling at me and telling me, you know what? Get off my property. You can leave right now. And obviously, I didn't want to fight her. I said, hey, you know what? Thank you for your time. Hey, God bless you. You have a good one. She said, you just get out. Get out of here. She got so upset. And what got her upset? The fact that I just said that God does hate people. She blew up. She got all over me. But we already saw that God says that he hates the bloody and deceitful person. You know, but go to Hosea chapter number 9. Go to Hosea chapter number 9. And where you go there, I'm going to read from Psalms 10:3 that says the same thing. It says, for the wicked boasteth of his heart desire, and blessed the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. Once again, abhor means to hate. And if we look at Hosea 9:7, what do I mean by hate? I mean that God doesn't love. If God hates something, that means he has zero love for it. And he can love something and later hate it. We're going to look at Hosea right now. If you're right there in Hosea, chapter number 9, verse 7, it says this. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. For the multitude of that iniquity and the great hatred, the watchman of Ephraim was with my God. But the prophet is a snare of a follower in all his ways, and hatred in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree, as their first time, but they went to Baal Peor, that's the devil, and separated themselves unto their shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth, and from the womb, and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. But Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and a dry breast. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. And I love what it says in the next verse, in case people are wondering. It says, I will love them no more. So it says, I hated them, I will love them no more. So a quick way to say, hey, what does God mean when he hates? That means he doesn't love. So he says, hey, if I hate this, I hate that, that means he has zero love for it. If God says, listen, I hate lies, I hate the blood and deceitful man, he says he has zero love for it whatsoever. You got your Bibles, go to 1 John 4:7. And I do like Hosea, because he says, look, I will love them no more. God can go from loving something to hating it, from adoring it, from having appreciation for it, for having emotional attachment to it, to just cutting it off and having zero love for it, zero desire to be with it. And that's something that we see in Scripture over and over again. But while you go to 1 John 4:7, I'm just going to go over the verses that remind us again that, listen, we just saw verses where it shows clearly that God has hate. But hey, don't forget, he also has love. Romans 8:38, for I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord for being saved. Amen. Even when you mess up, God loves you. God loves you when you're doing good. God loves you when you mess up. But the difference is, when you're doing good, he's going to bless you. And when you're not doing good, guess what? He still loves you, but he's going to beat your butt. And it's all for our good. Amen. But 2 Corinthians 13:11 says the same thing. It says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And a God of love. And praise the Lord, for a God of love and peace shall be with you. But you're right there in 1 John 4:7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth knoweth not God. Or he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Go to John 13:33. I mean, that's a great, great piece of scripture that just keeps mentioning how much God loves, how much God loves, how much he loves us, how much he gave for us. This is God. This is who he is. He's the God of love. But don't forget, God also has hate. And you're wondering, man, we know this. We're Pure Words Baptists. You know, we've been on board with this since day one. I absolutely believe that. And praise the Lord for that. And count your lucky marbles for that. Because I did grow up in the Independent Fundamental King James Soul Winning Baptist Church. I wouldn't say I grew up, but I started going there when I was 22. And for 8 years, I went there, listened to great preaching, read my Bible. But for some crazy reason, the first time I've ever heard someone say that God doesn't love everyone was 8 years after I started going to that Baptist church, and I heard it from my current pastor, Pastor Anderson. I have never heard that before, that God doesn't love everyone. And it was quick for him to just show verses, and I'm left dumbfounded, like, how did I miss this? That's crazy, because I'm taught to love everyone. Love everyone, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. Hey, we all love you, but that's not reality. That's not what the Bible teaches. There are certain people that we should hate. And we'll talk about why later on. You know, but we already saw that God clearly has both love and hate. I mean, Esau, have I hated? Jacob, have I loved? Hey, you may not remember the reference, but but at least quote it to people when they say, well, I don't believe God, you know, hates anyone. Well, it says in the Bible. Where? Okay, give me some time. Let me just search it really quick if you don't have it memorized. You know, by Romans 9 is where it's at. But what about love and hate? Not just that God has both, but that we must have both. We must. You can't say, well, you know what? I agree with you. We should love everyone. But as far as hating, I don't know if I have that in me. But you should. You have to. It's commanded. Let's take a look. John 13:33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Notice what he said, a new commandment. Not really that it's a new one, but he's repeating it and making it clear. It's a commandment. So if you can look at yourself and say, look, I don't hate sin like I should. I don't hate wicked and bloody and deceitful people like I should. Well, it all starts with prayer and asking God to give you that ability to do so. You know, but it says in verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God. Oh, I'm sorry, let me go back to John 13. Verse 35 says this, but these shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one towards another. But clearly this is a commandment. We must have both. And if you have your Bibles, go to Psalms 101. Go to Psalms 101. Well, you go to Psalms 101. You know, I'm just going to read from John 15 where we're reminded over and over again. It says, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment that you love one another. As I have loved you. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. These familiar verses, these are verses that you probably read. If you read your Bible once, cover to cover, you're going to come across these verses. But it's clear these are commandments that, hey, we are to have love. You guys already know that. Just reminders, John 15:17, crystal clear. These things I command you that you love one another. It's not optional. You need to be somebody that has love, you know, towards one another. But not just towards love towards your brothers in Christ, but also towards those that hate you, and they can also be your brothers in Christ. Matthew 5:44 says this, but I say unto you, to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you. But not just that we are commanded. And I quickly went through those because I already went over those last time I was here. And you guys are very familiar with those verses. And you guys, to me, are a very loving church. The reason you're here is because you love the Lord. You know, but Amos 5:15 clearly says, you know, that we shall also hate the evil and love the good. And praise the Lord that God doesn't just tell us to hate. He tells us what to hate. Have you heard of the Ten Commandments? We can start there. You know, hating adultery, hating murder, you know, hating idolatry. You know, Brother Corbin preached a great sermon on idols. If you ever get a chance to listen to it. It was a really good one. It was something that, you know, I always wanted to kind of be good at explaining to people. Because sometimes there's people that come at us like, yo, what about if I have a lamp with a little bird that's made out of metal? You know, is that an idol? And it's like, no, it's not an idol unless you're worshiping it. But the Bible says, you know, that we shouldn't make images, especially of birds and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, hey, at this point, I got a great sermon for you, Brother Corman, Idols versus Decor. You know, but I told you to go to Psalms 101. You know, and before I read Psalms 101, you know, this is something that we should be praying for if it's not you. If somebody can look at you and say, hey, this guy doesn't hate wicked people. This guy's somebody who can get along with anyone. Then you must realize that's not what God has for us. God does not want us to join hand in hand, especially with wicked people, and yoke up with people that don't care about the things of the Lord, or not even that, that blaspheme the Lord as well. You know, we shouldn't idolize whether they're Hollywood people, musicians, whatever. There's people out there that just flat out just hate the Lord, despise the Lord, but because obviously they had a hook in our lives from before we got saved, or even some Christians who do go to church still don't think there's anything wrong with listening to certain musicians or watching certain people, you know, on TV or in movies. But this is what the Bible says. Proverbs 20:26. This is one of the verses that convicts me. And if you pay attention to what it's saying, it may not seem like the nicest thing. But hey, Proverbs 20:26 is something that maybe we should put up in our house. But this is what the Bible says. It says that a wise king, not just a king, but a wise king, saying, hey, this is what a smart person should do. Now it says, a wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. Did you catch that? Bringeth the wheel over them. What exactly does that mean? Well, obviously we can't do it today in 2022, but back in the day, they executed some really bad people. And the leaders that were looked at as great leaders were people that didn't just like hate evil individuals, people that had crossed the line, people that were worthy of death, hey, they were put to death. And it says clearly here that if you're a wise king or an individual, you will want to also bring the wheel over them, meaning that, yeah, you took care of business, but you're also making it very clear that this was a very bad person. You brought the wheel over them. You basically smashed them to pieces. And even the Bible says that God can smash you to powder if you're not careful. If he likes to, he can just bring down the hammer on you. You know, but Psalms 102 is another example of the attitude that we should have. We already saw in Proverbs 20:26 that if you're wise, you wouldn't love the wicked. If you're wise, hey, if there's certain individuals that the Bible makes it very clear are just evil, wicked, I don't know what else to say besides the fact that these people just are worthy of death. If anybody commits a sin like murder or rape or anything like that, that is not something that we should look lightly on. That should be something that gets us really fired up and gets us to become people that just are upset and want to do something about it. But Psalms 101 says this in verse number 2. It says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Look at the attitude of King David, one of the wisest kings in the Bible. He says, I will behave myself wisely in the perfect way, or when will thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. So does David have hate? Absolutely. Absolutely he has hate. Was he a loving person? Absolutely he was also a loving person. You know, he was the kind of guy that tried to do his best to make sure that everybody was treated fairly. You know, there was a time when he went to battle and there were men with him that were so fatigued, they were so tired, they couldn't fight with him anymore. And he said, hey, stay behind and watch our gear. And they went and went out to the battle and they won the battle and they came back. And there were certain individuals that were not like King David. They were wicked in their heart. And they made it very clear they didn't want these guys to stay behind and watch the gear to get anything. They're like, hey, these guys don't deserve anything. They didn't go fight with us. And David's like, no, these guys couldn't fight. Not because they didn't want to fight, because they're too tired to fight, and they will also be rewarded, even though they weren't out there with the swords and slaying people and fighting the battles. You know, but here David says, I hate the work of them to turn aside, and that's what we should be as well, praying that God will make us people that just hate evil. It says that it shall not cleave to me, a forward heart shall depart from me, I will not know a wicked person. But whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that has a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Look how much he's making a big deal about hating wickedness, hating wicked people. Verse 6 says, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Verse 7, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land. Let me put it this way. He doesn't destroy people he loves. He destroys people he hates. And the reason why he says that I will destroy the wicked of the land is he's not talking about everyday sinners. He's talking about people that are so bad, they got to go. And the Bible makes it very clear that there are certain sins if you commit, hey, you're done. You know, your life will be over. And it's time for you to go. And of course, hopefully none of us commit those sins. You know, but it makes it very clear that he would destroy the wicked of the land, that he may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. And King Ahasuerus was somebody who was a perfect example when he came across the fact that Haman was plotting behind his back, that Haman was plotting to kill his wife. What did King Ahasuerus do? He executed Haman. He got rid of him. You know, not just him, but also his children. But what ended up happening? He ended up just cleaning up the place. Because when there's wicked people around, hey, that can cause everyone to be wicked as well. You know, but also not just that. It doesn't have to be an unsaved person like King Ahasuerus. And maybe he got saved later on. But at that time, he wasn't worshiping the Lord. You know, he was doing his own thing. He was living in sin. He had a bad guy as his right-hand man. But as soon as he found out, hey, this guy is evil, what did he do? Like Proverbs 20:26 says, hey, he basically ran the wheel over him. But he obviously didn't do it with a wheel. He put him to death, you know, because he was just plotting against his wife, and he turned out to just be a deceitful individual. And he ended up saying, you know what, I'm done with this guy. And I'm sure he probably has some love for Haman at some point. But hey, King Ahasuerus is almost a reflection of the Lord, where he can be, you know, good with you one second, but if you cross the line, hey, God can take you out as well. One perfect example is Moses. Moses was good with the Lord. God chose him. You're going to be my leader. You're going to go get the children of Israel out of Egypt. Hey, I'm going to pick you and you alone. Okay, you don't want to do it alone? Then I'll get Aaron to come help you out. Everything seemed to be good. Then sure enough, on the way to Egypt, what happened? the Lord got so mad with him that he almost killed him. He was going to kill him if it weren't for his wife to step in. She stepped in and saved Moses' life. So whether you're saved or unsaved, we need to be careful that we don't mess up our walk with the Lord, because you never know when his patience is going to run out. Amen? You know, but so far, what have we seen when it comes to love and hate? Simple stuff that you already know. God has both. We're commanded to have both. If you're a good Christian, you're going to have the exact same mentality as King David, Moses, and everybody else. Because you know what they have in common? Moses killed wicked people. Samuel killed wicked people. Joshua killed wicked people. And I'm pretty sure these people that they put to death, hey, they had zero love for them. And they were so bad that they turned whatever love they could have had to just pure hatred towards them. You know, but not just that. If you go to John 15, go ahead and go to John 15. This sermon is simply a reminder, because obviously when I spoke to this old lady, I'm not going to lie, she kind of made me feel bad. She made me think that there was something wrong with me. You know, she made me feel like I might have just, you know, crossed the line a little bit, because she got really upset to the point where she's like 70 years old and literally telling me to get off her property, you know, as fast as possible, telling me how dumb and how, you know, whatever I am. You know, but then, of course, when scriptures start popping in my heart, then I'm overcoming everything. Like, what am I doing? It's like, I shouldn't feel bad. She should feel bad. You know, she should feel really bad for not knowing, just stop this common sense. Obviously, God is love. Everybody knows that, John 3:16. But come on, I don't think you need to be a genius to realize that God, if he's a God that's just and fair, is going to hate things that are bad. But she didn't have that. She thinks, no, I can kind of meet you there. He'll hate things. But people, I just don't think Jesus hated anyone. And I'm thinking, okay, no problem. And when I told her, yeah, let me show you really quick, she just didn't want to hear it. You know, but of course, when it comes to love and hate, you already saw God has both. You already saw we're commanded to have both. But not only that, just remind yourself when this happens that you will suffer both. Let me put it this way. This lady, she was cool, but at the end, she was mean. I'm pretty sure she hated me. I'm pretty sure she didn't like what I had to say. And then not only that, she claimed to be a Christian, but here's what she also told me. I was married to a Jewish man for 20 years. So be careful who you hang out with. Be careful who you marry. Be careful who you walk with, because here's the deal. I was saved. I was reading my Bible. Not like I should have. I was listening to preaching. But remember, for 8 years, I thought that God didn't hate anyone. Maybe you got it from your Bible reading. Maybe before you came to Pure Words, because Pure Words doesn't have the problem. In fact, the NIFB doesn't have that problem. You know, they teach very well what God is like, and they teach very clearly there's some things and some people that God just does not like, but we back it up with Scripture, amen? But listen, when they're calling you out at the door and they're yelling at you and telling you how you're wrong, how you don't know your Bible, how you're all screwed up, hey, just realize what's happening. The Bible makes it very clear that wicked people hate the upright. So the fact that if she is supposedly somebody who was a Christian, now she's upset because I'm going around doing what God told me to do, and it's probably causing her to feel a little bad about it. But when I'm teaching her things that she probably feels like, nope, you know, it's like, these are lies, whatever. I think she's just too prideful to realize that she's just flat out wrong. And she's been wrong for decades. You know, she's been wrong for who knows how many years of her life. You know, but we should never get to that point where we're so prideful. If somebody comes and he's, what, 10 years old, showing us, hey, listen, brother, girl, you're kind of wrong in what you said. Let me quickly show you from the Bible. Hold up. Who are you? You know how old I am, little man? Hopefully we never get to that stage in life. But, hey, if we do, there's something wrong with us, and we need to be careful. But that was the lady's problem, her pride. Her pride wouldn't allow me to just show her very clearly from the Scriptures. I mean, I didn't even get to Romans 9, but I could have just easily just ended it right there. Listen, he says right here that he loved Jacob and he hated Esau. He does both. Who knows what would happen? But knowing how her pride was, she probably wouldn't have cared and told me, you wrote that in there. No, I did not. But let's just remind ourselves that, listen, God does both. He commands us to have both, and we will suffer both. Let's take a look at the ones that we find, the scriptures that we find so far, or quickly find in the Bible. If you're right there in John 15, it says that these things command you that you love one another. If the world, what? Hate you. What do you mean by the world? The unbelievers. If the unbelievers hate you like that old lady, don't take it too personal. God warns us so we don't get offended. And that was kind of my thing. I wasn't really focusing on the scriptures, and she got to me. She got me upset, like, what? She made me feel like the dumbest person on the planet. But I'm like, hold up. John 15, what are you talking about, lady? If the world hates you, it says very clearly, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world will love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So just remind yourself that you're not always going to be loved. The world will hate you, especially when you live for the Lord. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things, you know, what they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto you, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hated my Father also. Go to Romans 8. Go to Romans 8. And when you go to Romans 8, I'm just going to read from 1 John 3, where Jesus made it very clear in verse number 13 that we shouldn't marvel that the world hates us. It says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. You know, but that's the reality of the situation, is the woman hated me, you know, probably because her deeds were evil. You know, growing up and spreading all these lies that Jesus loves everyone or God loves everyone, and then here I come showing her the truth. I'm pretty sure she wasn't happy to admit that she was wrong, you know, and it trolled very quickly when she was very rude to us, very mean to us, and she told us to just leave her property as fast as possible. But now I'm feeling better after preaching this sermon, so here we go. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemns? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, amen, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bottom line, no matter how bad things get, remember, God loves you. And you're like, duh, we know that. Trust me, when things go bad, you got to remind yourself. Hey, God loves me. That should be enough. People love me. That's just a bonus. Amen? Hopefully your wives and kids love you. But if your church members don't, at least God loves you. Amen? But I'm pretty confident your church loves you too. But if you can, go to Psalms 5. Go to Psalms 5 if you can. Very clear. We're going to be hated on. Very clear. But even if we're hated on, just remember, God loves you. And even if the whole world hates you, it's kind of like a so what? God loves me. That should be it. You know, God, the Father, the creator of the world, Jesus Christ, they love me. You know, shouldn't focus on how bad people hate you. You should focus on how much you want to please God. Why? Because he deserves it. He deserves your attention, not a 70-year-old lady that made you mad. But I'm just saying. So I'm just going to read from Revelation 3:19 to remind us that, listen, nothing can stop God from loving us. Nothing that we do. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. John 14:21 says this, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 8:29, and he that sent me is with me. You know, the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please the Father. And I wanted to end with that, or at least stop it there, because that should be our main focus. If this lady not pleased with me, who cares? Is God pleased with me? You know, if my friends or whoever is not pleased with me, you know, for whatever reason, is God pleased with me? If the answer is yes, then keep on keeping on. You know, sometimes you could be doing everything right, and your boss, for whatever reason, may not be pleased with you and not even treat you well. But you just got to keep doing what you have to do. And in the end, you win. You know, God will be the one that blesses you in the end. He looks at righteousness, and that's what we should always focus on, is just doing right. And you know what? I'm sorry. I meant to tell you to go to Job chapter number 1. I told you to go to Psalms, but go ahead and go to Job chapter number 1. And I'm going to simply end it with this. You know, we already saw when it comes to love and hate that God has both. That's something that you guys know very well. I'm just here to just repeat it, because it's always good to just be reminded of these verses. Number 2, not just that, but we also are, you know, commanded to have both. We have no choice. We must have both. You know, we must have love. We're commanded. God says it very clearly that I command this, a commandment that you love one another. And also we're commanded to hate the evil and love the good, to be, You know, love is a good man. Yes, that's a qualification of a pastor, but that's something that we should also have in our lives as well. We should be lovers of good men. You know, and not just that, you know, we will suffer both. You know, not just, you know, in our personal lives, you know, but we could possibly even suffer it at church where you got people that just backslidden, you know, and they just get a little bitter towards you. And even like David said, hey, if it was some enemy of mine that mistreated me, it probably would have been all right. But it was my fellow brother, you know, who I went to the house of God with. He's the one that raised up his hand against me. And that sucks pretty much. Probably worse than the outside world attacking you. But you know what? It's just what happens sometimes. You know, we get a little backslidden. We start to get a little envious. You mistreat your brother in Christ. But if you're being mistreated, you know what to do. Overcome evil with good. Amen? And like the Bible says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, translation, then we're going to see each other sin. You know, hey, if it's not a sin unto death, like if he's not committing adultery or if he's not committing murder someone, you know, then we should pray every time you see something. And what does the Bible say? The love covereth all sins. Hey, you just let it go because you know, hey, this is something that obviously is not a big deal. Let's just pray, and I'm pretty confident God will step in and do something about it. You know, but the last and final thing I wanted to remind you guys tonight about is that, you know what? Love and hate makes us great. Love and hate makes us great. If you have both, it makes you a great person. Sometimes we forget about that. It would make the world feel bad that we do hate. It's like, oh, do you hate such and such? Yes. They make you feel like you're like the worst person ever. You know, but that's because they don't understand. You know, and I told you to go to Job 1:1 because it clearly says, you know, in verse number 3, you know, that he was very blessed. As his substance also, you know, was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Obviously, he's talking about having great possessions. But the reason he had great possessions is he was the greatest, you know, when it came to possessions, is because look at verse number 8. Look at this man. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Trust me, he didn't do that because, you know, he loved evil. He hated it, and he was able to do what he did. And so by God seeing that, hey, God decided to just bless the man, and he did. You know, where did the blessings come from? They came from God. When God took everything away, hey, he got more blessings in the end. But what was the deal? He stuck with God. He kept fearing God. He kept doing what's right. You know, but in the end, what happened? He didn't just become a great person in possessions. He was a great example, you know, how to endure. You know, he was a great man. But it had to come down to like, hey, he just hated evil. You know, he just hated it all, and he loved doing what was right. And it even said the same thing in Job 2:3. You know, but when it comes down to love and hate, listen, if you love the correct way, if you have the right love, because you can have the love of the world. That's not what I'm talking about. If you're wondering, hey, how do I know if I have the love of the world? That's where the Bible comes in. That's where coming to church comes in. We'll tell you what it means to love the world. You know, basically bad things is what it comes down to. God gave you a conscious mind. If you continue to obey the Lord, you go soul winning, he'll bless you with wisdom. The Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise. So it's not going to be very hard to figure out if you're messing up or not. God will bless you with the ability to figure it out or not. But sometimes we do need a man of God. You know, like King David, he had a man of God come up to him and rebuke him because he didn't realize he was in sin. And that's what we also need, a man of God. Because if we're not getting blessed with the wisdom to figure out that we're going in the wrong direction and reading the Bible is not, you know, helping you as well, then you also have the other way of God teaching you or speaking to you, and that's through the prophet or that's through the pastor. You know, but obviously when it comes to being great, that's something that God wants you to aim for. You're like, well, I don't want to be great. I just want to, you know, just finish my race. Well, God wants you to be great. He wants us all to be great. And yes, we understand that some people are going to get more rewards than others, but you should aim high is what God wants you to do. He wants you to open your mouth wide so he can fill it. He doesn't want you to just do the bare minimum. He's like, hey, aim for the sky. Have a vision. You know, he wants us to do the best possible job we can. You know, but you already saw that, hey, God, he has both love and hate. Hey, we should have it as well. We're commanded to have it. Not just that, we're going to suffer it as well. You know what? You're going to suffer hate. People are going to hate you. People are going to despise you. But you're also going to suffer love. You know, meaning that, hey, you're going to experience it through your brothers and sisters in Christ, God himself. Hey, even your family, it's going to happen. You're going to experience both, which is good, obviously, and bad. Because the Bible says, if you get persecuted, rejoice and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. But let me just go over these verses that talk about how great someone is. And this someone is God. And if you have your Bible, we'll finish it with Revelation 19. So go to Revelation 19. I just want to read these verses because it's interesting. These verses are interesting. For example, Ezra 5:8 says this. being known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea to the house of the great God. The great God. Nehemiah 8:6 says this, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Notice they're saying the great God. Proverbs 26:10, the great God that formed all things, both rewarded the fool and rewarded transgressors. Daniel 2:45 says this, the great God that had made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. And the last time when you search the great God, you find it right there in Revelation 19. It's very interesting. Let's see what makes him great. Go ahead and look at Revelation 14. I'm sorry, 19:14. Revelation 19:14. I told you to go to Revelation 19. You know, that verse 17, ends with these three words, the great God. But let's take a look at what made him so great. Let's take a look at how God was, that he ends up being described as the great God. Over and over again, he's called the great God, and he is. But let's take a look at Revelation 19:14. This is interesting to me. It says right here, and the armies which were in heaven, this is the return of Christ. And the armies which were in heaven follow him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth, talking about Jesus Christ, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. The great God. And what is this supper? It's a nice supper with steak and lobster and shrimp. Negative. Look, he's being called the great God. And what is he doing? He's pouring out his wrath on evil people. But yet he is literally being called the great God. And let's look at this supper that the great God is preparing. Verse 18, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, what in the world? And the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Hold up, he was just called the great God. It's like, hey, fowls, this angel calls all the birds, fowls, come and join in this great supper that the great God has for you guys. You know, it's going to be some nice little pigeon seeds that, you know, pigeon feed from the pet store. You know, whatever the popular little bird feed is, you know, little seeds, a little bag of seeds. I remember as a little kid, you know, one of my friends had a little parrot or whatever, had a little bag of seeds. It was like a cracker with a bunch of little seeds, you know, just feeding him, and that bird loved it. But here the angel saying, hey, the Lord has something for you birds. Hey, come gather together and eat the supper of the great God. So he's called the great God. And what is he doing? Pouring out his great wrath. His great wrath. You can't do that with love. That happens when there's hatred. Because think about it. If a man catches his wife committing adultery in the act, it's not going to be loving what he does next. It's going to be zero love. His wrath is about to get poured out. Poured out. And Pastor Anderson tells a story of a guy he knew who caught his wife committing adultery. And yeah, you know what? He poured out his great wrath. Grabbed the guy and threw him through a window. He got all tore up. And I guess he ended up in the hospital. And he didn't die. But if he would have died, his friend would have gone to jail for manslaughter. But he didn't die. He just caught his wife committing that act. Grabbed the guy. Threw him out. And he poured out his wrath. But do you think he had an ounce of love for that guy? No. Here, what do we see? We see God being called the great God, and it's all about his hatred, his wrath. And so guess what? If you hate wickedness, you're on the path to become a great man of God. Bottom line, you cannot have, you know, this title without having hatred for evil. And there are so many false prophets out there, you know, that people think are great. Let's name some. Who are these great? I think I've always had Stephen Furtick guy. Who knows who I'm talking about? You know, he has a big YouTube channel, like almost 3 million people. Every time I'm done watching Pastor Anderson, that guy pops up next. You know, the guy that thinks he's like a teenager, dresses like a teenager with the skinny tight pants, you know, has, I call it that teenager, or I don't know, I just think it's that type of haircut that is cool for young guys to have. I don't know, like young guys have it. Who knows what I'm talking about? Where it's like they do a little line, a little cool design, you know? and it looks cool on young kids, you know. And I was getting my hair cut once, and this guy's like, "You want me to do the line?" No, man, I'm too old for that, bro. He's like, "No, man, I love how it looks. I let them do it on my son." Because I was like, "My son looks cool." You know, talking about where you can clearly see like those lines. You know, the barber does a great job. You know, gives you a nice fade, and then he fades the sides. He does the top really good, and then he like cuts it nice and edgy, where you know no natural hairline, you know, comes up like that, you know. And then after like a couple of days, that line kind of starts to stick back in. Doesn't look that great, but it looked good on my son. My son Sagan, it's like, "Oh, I want that line." I was like, "All right, go for it." Gave him that line. He looked like Stephen Furtick, unfortunately. And I'm like, "You're fine." But Furtick is almost 50 years old, you know? And he literally like has this rock band where the lead singer has his hair almost down to his ribs. No shame in this dude's game at all. And that guy's rocking, and his hair's flopping back and forth. And Stephen Furtick is right there next to him, going at it, doing this thing like this, you know, during the music stuff, right? You know, because guess what? Stephen Furtick does not have hate for sin. He doesn't. And he clearly doesn't have hate for wicked people, because him and T.D. Jakes are like this. You know? And they're clearly unsaved false prophets, but that's what's going to happen if you don't have the hate that you should. You're going to be like Furtick. You're going to be like these other guys. Or even like independent fundamental Baptist pastors. You know, who were just like just not wanting to preach hard because they don't want the persecution. You know? When Verity Baptist got persecuted, what happened? There was another Verity Baptist. And sure enough, they were mistaken for our Verity Baptist. And they were a Baptist church. And the guy had to make it clear. "We are not the Baptist church in Sacramento. We are a different Verity Baptist." Because all these evil sons of Belial were threatening him and emailing the wrong church. But don't worry, he's going to get it too. Because the Bible says that the fear of the wicked is going to come upon him. How wicked is it for a man of God to get paid to rebuke that sin and doesn't do it? He's going to get his fears. They're coming. But hey, if you choose to save your life, you're going to lose it. But this is the point that I never brought up, and I taught on love, I taught on hate before, but I don't think I ever told people, listen, point number four, you need both to be great. You want to be great. There's a lot of men in our movement that want to be great. You have to learn to hate. But like the Bible says, you need to hate the evil. And praise the Lord, the Bible tells us exactly what that is. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, thanks so much for these people. Father, they're great people. They're here. They're not just going to a church. They're going to an independent fundamental King James soul winning Baptist church. And not just an independent fundamental King James only soul winning Baptist church. But they're going to one that I believe, Lord, is going to make big things happen, Lord. Obviously, they're now, you know, just going through, you know, through their, you know, history without having somebody full time behind the pulpit. But I know that's going to end one day, Lord. And when it does, you know, I'm very, very, you know, excited to see what's going to happen with this church. And these people, they're great people, and I ask you to bless them, Father, and not just that, but just help us all to grow, help us all not to be afraid, help us all to just realize how you are, who you really are. Help us to be like you, Lord. Help us to love, and help us to hate. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
All right, let's go ahead and pull out our hymnals, and we'll sing our last song for the morning. It's song number 236. Number 236, no, not one. Number 236, no, not one. Go ahead and sing nice and loud. Start there on the first. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly.
No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Did ever saint find his friend forsake him? No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given?
No, not one.
No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And with that, you are dismissed. You have a blessed day.